www.freakradio.org. This is Bathrob Spears Broadsides, the October 7th, 2010 show. In the studio with me is steadfast, no, that's not quite the word, let's say stick-it-to-him Steve Plaich, who is, well, he's running for shitty council, and he's going all around the town, meeting every political hack he can run into, glad-handing his hands off, and also expressing some political positions as well as consorting with the riffraff. How you doing, Steve?
Doing well.
Well, that's good. That's good. And of course, you've been hanging out with the Huffsters. You were at the Huff meeting yesterday up at the Abbey.
Yeah.
And we will be seeing you again tomorrow on the streets in front of the New Leaf Market at the little 4x4 area where you're allowed to table. Actually, you can leaflet all over the sidewalk, but if you dare to set up a display device, there is a very limited room for that because, as we know, the public has very little patience with political activists, musicians, panhandlers, and sitters of all stripes. Or let's put it this way, the city council has made it clear they have very little patience, and hence their laws reflect that. It's illegal to set up on 95% of the Pacific Avenue sidewalk and on 100% of all other business district sidewalks as far as political tables or display devices, let's say like open guitar cases seeking money for musicians go.
Well, between 11 and 12, we'll be not only advocating my candidacy
for city council, but we'll also be conducting a survey about homeless issues that Robert has authored, and it'll be interesting to get some answers to that.
Right, we'll be pushing Plaich for not the next to the last candidate at the city council race, possibly, you know, who knows. A mayor in 2025.
Perhaps.
Yes, you never can tell.
And still a homeless advocate even then.
And even then, supporting the rights of civil, civilly supporting the right, writing the civil, in any case, he's a supporter of human rights for poor people, even though it ain't fashionable to do that in Santa Cruz with the politically well-connected. So before I jump into this, this mostly, by the way, this show is, of course, for those who don't know, concerned with street stuff and also how legal and illegal or quasi-legal, extra-legal authorities treat street people, as how the police, the merchants, social service agencies, and other allied groups.
The Santa Cruz citizenry themselves, right, for that matter.
Yeah, for sure. Treat homeless people, poor people, and what kind of rights we have. Watch them before they disappear in front of your eyes because, for example, the right to use public spaces is diminished markedly in the last decade in Santa Cruz. I've talked about that on the air. I'll continue to talk about it. And I play a lot of interviews from the street. I've been playing interviews galore today, and I'll get into that in just a moment. Steve has a schedule to keep. He's off to a whatchamahooses at 7 o'clock?
City Planning Commission meeting.
A city planning commission meeting. That's like, what, City Hall, I suppose?
It's not City Council Chambers. It's my plan to watch the sausage being made so that may one day I'll be able to make the sausage myself.
Ew, yucky poo. I hear that's not supposed to be very pleasant, watching the sausage getting made. And actually, you don't get to really watch too much of it in the planning commission because, well, I guess they don't have a subcommittee process, right? They're supposed to do it there in public, although I suspect they chat among themselves and then get together, probably in violation of the Brown Act.
This will be my first commission meeting, so I'll be interested to see exactly what the agenda and protocol format is. My understanding is one of my fellow candidates, David Foster, sits on the Planning Commission, so he told me, ask him how long the meetings generally last. He said anywhere from 15 minutes to 3 hours, so we'll see.
Right. I remember I don't usually go to Planning Commission meetings, but I did attend one because the Planning Commission was the group that rushed through the first, the so-called moratorium on medical marijuana facilities.
Rushed, you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they rubber-stamped the planning department's initial moratorium last summer that was, I don't know, 2 months long. And then they rushed through a seven-month moratorium, and then they rushed through a ban on the whole thing. Meaning, by rushed through, I mean there was there wasn't much research or analysis. There was essentially a sort of a rubber stamping of what the planning department's essentially anti-marijuana perspective was. I mean, they didn't couch it that way. In Santa Cruz, you don't want to say you know, the dreaded reefer menace is not, it's not politically correct to do that. But instead they said, well, you know, for a city our size, two dispensaries is quite enough. They didn't say that, let's say, two pharmacies is quite enough, or two bars is enough, or two tobacco outlets. No, no. Yeah. But two medical marijuana.
And they restricted them to a certain number of square footage.
And they also... Yeah, I think that too. And they also had restrictions on whether you could medicate on the premises and all kinds of other absurd and essentially, I have to say, prejudiced conditions that had nothing to do with actual health and safety concerns, had nothing to do with any real properties of marijuana or behaviors of people in the sale and cultivation of marijuana, but simply... fears that and prejudices that some neighborhoods had, and I think also that some staff people had. I don't think there was a big outcry for a moratorium. This came from the staff which makes up most of the rules in Santa Cruz behind the scenes, and of course the city council ratifies them without much debate or discussion. And if there is opposition, as there was, for example, to the rental inspection ordinance, they ignore it.
Well, and there's some question whether or not they were even in compliance with the Brown Act process in terms of the rental ordinance. So one of the fellows was speaking pretty articulately, in fact, about the fact that you can't notice a second hearing at the first hearing. So that's yet to be decided. I think he may go forward with some kind of injunction.
Ed Davidson you're talking about?
I think it was Ed, yeah.
Yeah, I know there's already been a lawsuit about the rental inspection ordinance, but I don't know. I don't think it was for that reason. Ed is a perennial and often... I don't want to say often accurate, because I'm not often that in touch with the validity of his criticisms, but he's a frequent watcher of the council. He has a number of criticisms that sound plausible when he makes them. He's not much of a speaker, though, so he sometimes gets lost. It's hard to, you know, follow him, and he's also a little subservient to the council. He always seems to always want to be, if only they would let him into the inner circle and listen to his arguments, all would be well. I've kind of given up on that, well... About the second time, I don't think I ever had any illusions that was going to be the case with the arguments I was making, although some might say that indicate I'm a somewhat more confrontational person.
Well, he raised the Brown Act questions at the council. I spoke in support of that. I said, out of an abundance of caution, maybe we better make sure that we've satisfied all the Brown Act requirements to perhaps ward off any injunctive process that might be brought by people.
And you were soundly ignored by the city council.
They sat me down.
Or did Tony Madrigal have anything to say, perhaps?
Perhaps he did.
Did he say, si se puedes, perhaps?
Si se puedes.
Got to get my Spanish right there. Yeah, you were at a rally today with all the political hacks, Madrigal, Rotkin, Lane. Byers, perhaps?
No, she was not there.
This was the town clock. What was this? What happened there?
It was sponsored by the local educators, Sitting County educators. They're trying to get some funding restored that is being cut by the projected budget in California this year. And so they had a number of speakers, a number of children speaking, and they had leading them in song and things of that nature.
They didn't mention that the Santa Cruz city budget has its hugest chunk for the police department and the fire department, that some of that might be redirected to educational purposes. I
don't recall that that was mentioned.
Probably not.
Enough.
That's the things that these people have actual power over, they don't like to talk about, but they are all for pretending, or let us say, not pretending, very sincerely, urging other agencies to proceed. You know, it's... all too familiar to me.
Anyway, a very enthusiastic gathering.
So. How large was the town clock, was it?
The town clock, maybe 50, 60 people.
How about noon, was it?
No, this was at 5. Well, actually, it started at 4 and ran from 4 until about 5:10. I think they had a similar protest demonstration event on campus this afternoon, about noon or so 1. Mm. So it's all part of a coordinated effort to support the passage of Proposition 25.
And tell us what this proposition is. Perhaps we can do is have you come in, by the way, and do the proposition cakewalk, and we can do the deal as to which propositions you suggest we vote for, which you suggest we vote against, which suggest don't make a dime's worth of difference, and so forth.
Well, Proposition 25 would simply repeal the requirement that budgets in this state be passed by a supermajority.
In other words, it gives the Democrats powers in the legislature, is what it is.
Well, if you are a democratically numerous House, or in this case, Assembly, If you have control of the Assembly, you have control of the Senate, certainly.
When was the last time the Republicans had control of both houses? I don't remember. It's been a while if it's happened at all.
Yeah, I can't really recall.
And
I mean, frankly,
I'm not really an expert on California, you know, legislative politics.
Well, we just have, there is 80 assembly persons and 40 senators. This is 120 in our state legislature.
Right, but I don't remember who controlled them when, and except I know that they gerrymandered the state good and proper, and that's what we're stuck with at the moment.
It seems like not long ago we did have a speaker of the assembly who was a Republican. So I'm thinking within the last 15 years or so that there may have been a Republican majority in the assembly.
But not
probably
in the Senate.
During the like Pete Wilson days or George Dukmejian or something like that.
Right.
So
yeah.
Anybody can cast their mind back that far, I guess.
It's hard for me to even grapple with this kind of issue, which may show you how far removed I am from reality in terms of the real political scene, because I just I have such a distaste for both the Democrats and the Republicans, and a sense that they are, for example, with homeless civil rights, almost. It's ironic. I mean, the people who are most sympathetic to homeless civil rights often are religious groups. Either they're on the extreme right or on the left, and they aren't really. If you get into institutional political positions, in some cases it's not true. In San Francisco, for example, there's more liberal Board of Supervisors where they at least talk about homeless civil rights, and there are pressure groups that tend to encourage them to come out against things like the upcoming Proposition L, the sitting ban in San Francisco, which is, of course, long been holy writ in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit on the sidewalk within 14 feet of a building, that's a crime, and we have not only endless convictions and harassment for that particular so-called crime, we also have more cops hired and more hosts directed and a private security guard hired by the month to go around and harass people for that particular behavior. Even though there are no complaints of violence, there are no complaints of robbery, no complaints of even obstructing the sidewalk around that issue that I've heard. It's just purely merchant colonization of the sidewalk. And also, of course, a conservative desire to give the police the power to remove those people, whoever they happen to be at the moment, in my view. So, how about a quick number from an old mime troupe production, 1600 Transylvania Avenue.
Ah, yes.
This is of, I don't know, this, I think this is from the, might be from the 90s, might be for during the Clinton regime, or maybe it's from the early Bush days, hard to say, but it certainly isn't Obama time. They're awfully soft on Obama. All these so-called critics are just not very critical, more like hypocritical, actually. Anyway, let's hear a little music, and then we'll turn to the voices of the street, who you don't get to hear much, and you get to hear lots of them here.
City Courier. I'm here to ask the president some real tough questions.
Take care, Mr. Renfield. You are new to the White House press corps and do not know our ways. There are things here you do not understand. Questions you must not ask!
Yeah, but...
Shh! We don't use big words or funny foreign names or follow up on questions and shoot him down in flames. We never, ever notice when what he says is wrong. If you want to keep your job, just watch and go along. If we want to keep our jobs, shut up and go along.
He will destroy us all. Shut up and go along.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you guys so afraid of?
The President of the United States.
I'd like to thank you all for coming. First, let me just say that I've had a lot of articles from your newspapers read to me recently that say that this president doesn't care. Not true. The last president may have felt the nation's pain, but this administration promises to be responsible for it. So please feel free to ask me any of your little questions.
From the Bugle, I have a question to ask Mr. President, and I pray that you will not find me impertinent. There's a controversy that's growing hot and hotter about levels of arsenic in our drinking water.
We're actively studying all kinds of pollution. Let's not run to the government for every solution. We see this not as a problem, but an opportunity to put our trust in the corporate community.
To put our trust in the corporate community, the corporate community.
I'm sure some corporation will put things back in kilter by coming up with some kind of arsenic filter that every family in the country, and this you can't rebut, will have money for that filter, 'cause of my big old tax cut.
From the Tribune, in terms of prioritization, you've said your administration thinks that children's education stands at number one, with $1,500 vouchers that you give the little slouchers. Improve the education of every daughter and son.
It's time to end the tyranny of our country's public schools and turn out illiterates, losers and fools. Let us give to the parents some power and some money to choose a private school for their little sis and sonny.
They can choose a school for little sis and sonny, for little sis and sonny.
I know $1,500 won't pay the whole nut, but they'll have plenty extra money with my big old tax cut. I wanna sing and dance, I just wanna strut every time I think about that big old tax cut.
Mr. President! Gene Ranfield, Coast City Courier. There's a federal commission that has a stated mission to control the cost of power for the public good. Will your administration support the regulation of the rising cost of power like you know you could?
Price caps,
price caps, we don't go there.
People gotta pay what the market will bear. Want low power prices and your gas tanks fill. What we gotta do is mine and drill.
What we gotta do is mine and drill.
You know California is on my mind. You know that I'm compassionate. You know that I'm kind. If they're gonna pay their bills, they're gonna need more bucks. And that's what they'll get with my big old tax cut. I gotta sing and dance, I just gotta strut. Every time I think about that big old tax cut.
Most working families who wear blue collars, the tax cut amounts to $300.
Well, I'm getting a lot more than that.
Does the lack of regulation of the energy corporations reflect the large donations that bought you your win?
No comment.
How about renewables like solar and wind?
Are there any
then
other questions?
How about an answer that's not just speech?
And that was a number from 1600 Transylvania Avenue called the press conference. Now, with the help of my technical boy Friday, Steve Plaich, who is restoring the batteries to my tape recorder, which has just taken a tumble, we're now going to hear some interviews from the street with appropriate commentary from the only city council candidate to actually actively oppose, although in the most diplomatic and mealy-mouthed tones, when actually not when he's here, but when he's at the city council forums, you do not hear
everywhere else I advocate only by half measure.
He uses a soft voice. He tries to turn away wrath with a soft word. What are you doing in there? Are you examining what to do next? No, you're not sure how to give me this.
This is beyond my technical
expertise. We're
going to
work on this together, putting batteries into a small,
outdated... He said,
outdated,
get away from that wheelbarrow, Jethro. You don't have to work that sophisticated farm machinery.
That's for sure, whatever that means. All right, let's see if we can hear some actual street interviews and maybe get an opinion or two from our in-studio guest, or from you, because you can call in. Now, the phone number here is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. You can also reach me off-air if you're a little shy about calling on the air, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That is my off-air number again, 423-4833. You can call me anytime. Often you'll get a voicemail, so if you are spending your last 50 cents, don't expect to necessarily get me, and leave a time and a place where you're likely to be contactable if there is such a thing. And I want to remind you that there now, again, seems to be a weekly Huff meeting happening, at least with me and Steve and a few other people. That happens every Wednesday at 10:30 at the Abbey Cafe, way up on 350 Mission at the... It's not called the Abbey Church, but it's the church up there on Highland and High. We now have a caller, actually. Hey there, caller. You're on Free Radio with Steve and Robert.
Is this progressive?
Is this what?
Progressive.
Well, we're progressively more weary as the evening goes on. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I just got in an accident.
Oh, you did? What happened?
He thinks it's progressive insurance.
Excuse me?
Is this progressive insurance you're looking for?
Are you calling? This is a radio station, you know. You're reaching. You're welcome to talk. We're talking about homeless issues.
Wait, excuse me. I'm a little shook up here, okay?
Sure.
I got in an accident on Highway 1, right?
You got into an accident, and what was this accident?
On Highway 1.
On Highway 1, what happened?
So the police came.
Police came.
They had this guy tow my car away.
Gotcha.
They took drug tests. Nothing wrong, right?
Okay.
This guy drove my car to his workshop.
Okay.
And told me to call them tomorrow. It's drivable. They don't know how much damage there is because he was able to drive it for a little while.
Now, this is a friend of yours?
No, this is a guy from AAA.
Oh, well, that was okay. Somebody, you're an AAA member.
Yeah, so he didn't charge me anything.
Well, that's good. Now, what's your first name?
Lowell Charters.
Lowell?
Yes.
Okay, Lowell. You realize you're talking to the community on the air. Are you okay with that?
I don't know what you mean.
In other words, you are on a radio station. You are going out to people on the radio right now. Do you want that to be, or are you looking for a private conversation?
I want some help.
You want some help?
Yeah, I want to answer a few questions.
Well, I don't know if I'm an expert on anything you've got to answer, that you've got to ask. I can try. I don't know.
I'm insured, right?
I don't. Okay.
Is there a deductible?
No idea. Depends on the insurance, I would imagine.
Are you insured with Progressive Insurance?
Yes.
You know, I see what the problem is. You think you're calling? I'm not a Progressive Insurance agent. This is radio station Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're calling.
Oh, I want Progressive.
Well, you have to try again. Go to the phone book and check it out.
They gave you the wrong number here.
Yeah, I guess they did. But good luck to you.
There's no way. It's not 427-3372.
This is 427-3772.
Oh, could you give me the office, the main office?
I don't have it, but I wish you luck in finding it. I got to go. Good luck to you, man. And that occasionally happens. We get people who think that we are something that we aren't. But, hey, good luck to him, you know, for heaven's sake. Accident. Sounds like he may have been, he's either been injured, he has a slurry speech, or the man has been drinking. I don't know.
Now it makes me wish I completed my insurance salesman training.
Yes. Well, you wouldn't necessarily know what Progressive Insurance does anyway.
You wouldn't sell anything Progressive in Santa Cruz if you catch my drift.
It's a label that they like to use. We call ourselves Progressive, but we're progressively...
We're progressively moving to the middle and to the right.
And to the right, yes, unfortunately. Well, here, let's...
Street sounds.
Street interviews.
Street interviews.
Let's go for some street interviews. Again, 427-3772 is the call-in number. We are not an insurance agency. However, we may provide you with some information about other issues, and you may provide us
information. We are here to ensure your human rights.
We are here to, ensure is a little strong. We're here to rhapsodize about the prospect of some future movement ensuring your human rights. So let's see how that goes. Here's something from the streets. Let's see where we're at.
Brenda. And you two are here from San Jose doing what?
Trying to sell perfume and cologne.
On the streets?
Yes.
And how's it going? Are the people wanting to smell better, or are they a bunch of stinkies?
Some are stinky, some like to smell nice.
What's your experience? Your first time here, I take it, huh?
Oh, no, I've been here for 2 months.
How is Santa Cruz as a sales venue? Is it a good one? Is it a difficult one?
Oh, it's good. It's not difficult. Like, if you make it difficult, then it will be, but you can, like, sell anywhere.
Now, your friend was offering me some free samples. Are you actually selling directly, or are you just sort of offering?
Yeah, we're a direct marketing company.
And so, in other words, you'll offer a free sample, and then if somebody wants something, you'll also sell some for money.
Yep.
And what are average sales like per day in Santa Cruz?
Well, it depends on the person. It varies from person to person. My average is from 3 to 5 a day. Mm-hmm. Hers.
50 to 60, perhaps.
No, I would say about the same, like 3 to 5.
And what does that involve for you in terms of, are you paid a wage, are you paid a salary, a commission? What is your deal?
It's basically commission. We turn in 20 into our boss. Whatever is over that goes straight into our pocket.
And do they pay your gas coming over here?
No, we all pitch in for gas and we come over here.
Are you making enough to make this profitable?
Yes.
Okay.
This company is going to financially back us into our own office and running our own business. That's why we're working so hard towards that. That's basically what we're working for.
The name of the company is?
Synergy.
How long has it been in existence, you know?
The company, 35 years.
So it's an old-time company.
Yes.
Pretty much selling the same product or different products?
Same product.
Men's cologne?
Men's cologne, ladies' perfume. It started out with pots and pans, though.
Interesting. Well, I wish you both luck. Anything you want to say to our free radio audience out there?
Come and check out some free samples. We have them for super low prices today.
Hear ye. Have you been bothered or disturbed by, I don't know, policemen or by panhandlers or by aggressive salespeople demanding you look at their...
Yes, there's some aggressive customers. There's cops that are very aggressive. We are licensed to do this, however. So we kind of just, I don't know.
What kind of experience have you had with the police here in Santa Cruz?
I haven't.
Had any problems?
Yeah, not here. Not in Santa Cruz.
What cities have been a difficulty for you?
Out in, like, Gilroy, Morgan Hill.
Kind of hot out there,
yes.
Too. So were you on the streets on Tuesday, broiling and frying away? Or?
Yes, every day.
Wow.
And you're
still not charbroiled. Very good.
Yes.
Deeper suntan than you did.
Yes, yes, yes.
Again, we've been talking with...
Elizabeth.
And...
Brenda.
Thank you both.
Zoli.
Zoli, you're here in front of Dale Williams with some nice-looking art. It looks like you're even creating as we speak, a hand with an eye in the middle of it, a naked woman's frontal view, and some interesting designs. It says paintings and stickers for sale, Freedom Artist. And How are you doing? You even have a price, $2 to $10. No hassles from police?
No, no hassles. Everyone's been really nice. Compliments.
Wow. And how long have you been here?
Probably only an hour.
And is this your first time on the Avenue?
Yeah, actually.
Well, we'll see what happens to you. Where are you from?
I'm from Kauai, Hawaii.
And are you just new in town? Or?
I've been here a few times. I have some friends that live here in town, so I'm visiting.
Welcome to Santa Cruz.
Thank you.
Anything you've seen that you want to comment on? You've only been here for an hour at this time, so probably not too much. But
there's a lot of beautiful people on the street.
Any sales yet?
No, not yet, but hopefully soon.
You're pretty cheery. I wish you luck.
Oh, thank you.
You take care.
You too.
Now, a point should be made here that she said that she had price tags on her stuff, and she apparently, presumably, had no license to sell, unlike the two perfumeristas who were selling before, if they had licenses, which I suspect they did. They sounded like they believed they did anyway. This actually was the result, this ability to sell your graphic art, created art on the street in Santa Cruz without a license, with a price tag, not just for donation, as a consequence of a essentially legal confrontation between a guy called Robin and City Attorney John Barisoni about a year ago. Robin went to the city attorney after the police ticketed him and said, look, here's a decision out of Nevada. I think it's a Sparks decision. And I could be wrong about that, but it's a decision out of Nevada which shows that you have a right. Ninth Circuit has said you have a right to display artwork with a message. So, for example, it does not apply to handicrafts. Unless, of course, the handicrafts, I don't know, if you handicraft in words or something or graphic images. So you are allowed, in theory, according to the city attorney, and thanks to Robin, the rights finder, as I call him, to actually sell your particular kind of painting, your literature, for example, on the street, if it has a message, without getting a license, and you can put a price tag on it. Other things you're allowed to sell for donation. And, of course, there are always these limits of an hour that are now being very rigidly enforced. You actually have this security, this what I would call them false alarm security guy, walking up and down the street. They call themselves first alarm. Of course, I call them false alarm because it is false alarm. There's no reason to be concerned about these things and to harass people for these kinds of issues other than to please failing knick-knack businesses on the mall. And those who want to see a particular class and culture of people disappear from Pacific Avenue. That seems to be, that's my rap on this. But anyway, that's my comment on this. And let's hear some more from the street. Unless you have some thoughts, Doctor?
No, very interesting. That's something I really did not know. I don't really understand or have a lot of information about the kind of the history of these things, how they evolve, you know, why we are in the situation that we are, where people can't, you know, freely display their handiwork and be able to kind of enjoy
it's interesting.
The culture.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know that people have actually won lawsuits against the Santa Cruz Police Department and the city. Mike True, whose music I've played on this show back in 2000, 2001, was accosted by Sergeant Lauren Butchie Baker, who is a rather notorious fellow for a decade before harassing women and getting 10, count them, or was it 9? 9 or 10 specific complaints of sexual harassment, which the police department, the city council, the city manager, the district attorney, the grand jury, and the state attorney general all ignored, indicating that they felt that the women were lying. 9 women all lying. See, and it was all part of a plot to get a police review board that had no power. An interesting theory, which I frankly did not subscribe to. But Baker arrested Mike True for essentially playing music on the street with CDs that he had made for donation. He didn't even have a price tag on them. And so some of the things Baker and other cops have tried, they just start taking your stuff. Say, it's for donation. I'll just take it and not donate anything. But that's become less, I haven't heard of that happening recently because it's kind of rude. It's kind of un-Santa Cruzan. It's kind of crass. And generates a lot of ill will, which sometimes police are concerned about. or perhaps they're told they should be concerned about it, and so they become concerned about it. But True sued Baker and got, I think, $15,000 to $25,000.
Right?
Yeah, and actually I sued Baker, too. That's the one successful lawsuit I've ever had in Santa Cruz, I believe, where he arrested me for tabling in front of New Leaf Market in 2002 when they were setting up this gated area. You may see it now. It's a series. It's a green fence around the area between the two green kiosks in front of New Leaf.
Oh, okay. Exactly right.
Used to be an open, one of the few open areas where there was a planter area where you could sit on, but the city decided that that was just too riff-raffy, and they wanted to get rid of the youth that were hanging around there. And so they privatized the area, or they leased out the area to private concerns. I felt the process was undemocratic. I didn't like the whether the process was undemocratic or not. I didn't like what they were doing. Didn't like the privatization. They weren't supplying space that was being taken away. They were doing it for a bad reason, to go after a group of people. And so I tabled and urged a boycott of New Leaf Market, Alibaba's Cafe, which is now, I think it's called Cafe Campesino.
Oh.
It's not the same group. It's a different ownership. And Sushi Now, which is now Asana in front of New Leaf Market. And Matisse Selman of Sushi Now colluded with Butchie Baker, Lieutenant Patty Sapone, and a number of other police officers, this is my understanding, to have me arrested for blocking the sidewalk. Not because the sidewalk is very wide at that point.
Yeah, it is.
At that point, there was no fence, so it was even wider.
You can imagine how wide.
But they claimed that because people were lining up to sign my petition, I was creating a blockage on the sidewalk, and therefore I was arrested. And I was successful. After they went through a process of taking me to court, and so finally they dropped the charges after 8 months at the edge of court. And then we sued them, because at that time there were attorneys interested in actually taking these kinds of cases. And I won. They settled for, I don't know, I think it was $2,500 for me and $2,500 for the attorneys.
Did you actually receive that Princeton settlement?
I received a check from the city attorney. I think half of it was from Matisse Selman, half of it was from the city. Maybe it was from Baker, I'm not sure. I think the city backed Baker. So Baker went after Mike True in this other case, which predated mine. He lost a larger amount of money, or I should say the city lost a larger amount of money. Baker has been responsible for a number of lawsuits, and perhaps that's why he's only a sergeant, even though he got some sort of 25-year meritorious service award. He's the guy also who arrested me in the famous mock Nazi salute case at city council, where I raised my arm in a silent gesture in protest to the mayor's cutting off, threatening to actually arrest a person at city council there for a speaker.
A watershed event.
Could be. It sounds like we have a knock at the door. Could this be the FCC? Perhaps we're about to be busted and taken into custody. It looks like Dennis the Bard has arrived. We may have to throw him out unless he behaves himself, but he is a good man, a poet, a scoundrel, and an occasional singer. You can hear him. You can actually hear him singing in front of the Cafe Campesino on occasion during the day.
If I get a new D string, I'll be ready to go.
And he's we're going to have to find
we're
going to have to find a way to shut him up because he's going to have to fit into our schedule or hit the road. We'll see if he does.
We're talking about a watershed event.
A watershed. We're all wet here as a consequence. So he has important announcements to make and greetings as well. There's a many birthdays actually today. I want to point out that Vision Song Valerie, her mother. Popped her out on this day numerous years ago. She's a singer on the street as well as a Vision Song Valerie. You know, Valerie, one of the singers on the street. I don't know if you know. She hasn't been singing much downtown recently, but she has been.
One of the Valeries.
There's Valerie Promise and there's Valerie Christie. This is Valerie Christie I'm talking about. So she, too, has a birthday. And, Dennis, you can be announcing your birthday. But hold your tongue for a bit while we get Steve is going to leave soon. So
certainly.
After that, you will be given a certain amount of leeway.
Just
not necessarily.
Opportunity.
Indeed. So we are listening to some street interviews. And we're going to listen to a few more. And then you're going to take off for the Planning Commission.
I am.
Do you know what's on the agenda that might be of interest to the community?
No, they had one item when I went over and looked at it, and I can't even recall what it was. So nothing of moment.
So this is merely a political gesture on your part as you wander around making connections with those aspiring office seekers.
Shaking as many hands and kissing as many babies on the way.
I don't think you've kissed one baby yet, as far as I know.
I'm getting every widow on a pension. That's me.
Every widow on a pension. I see. Well, I know that your actual work involves needle exchange and AIDS education.
It does.
Corrupting the youth with homosexual overtures.
Those are my issues.
Indeed. We're glad to have a man of your ilk in the studio.
I appreciate it.
I was kidding about the last, by the way, folks, for those who don't catch my dry humor. And so... let's hear a little more street interviews, and then we'll have Uncle Dennis Holt here sashay up to the mic. And he's not just, of course, a singer. He's also a writer. He's a poet. He's a well-known. He's a street fighter.
Rap on tour.
He's done all kinds of shit, man. This is no mean individual. I mean, sometimes a mean individual, and sometimes no mean individual. A little of this, a little of that. So, Steve, what's coming up in the next few days for those who want to follow the political doldrums as we approach this election?
Something of interest perhaps for you is there's going to be an open house at the Homeless Shelter Center on the 14th at 3 o'clock. And then the following Tuesday evening, which is the 19th, Santa Cruz Neighbors will be hosting a forum with Monica Martinez, the executive director of the Homeless Services Shelter. And so that two opportunities for anybody who are interested.
That's not at the Homeless Service Center. That's going to be at the police station, right?
Police station community room. And anybody who would be interested in coming out there and voicing their concerns, interests, questions about homeless shelter services, the types of services, the extent of services, what Monica Martinez herself has, what is her vision for that in the future.
Or her blindness, as you will. you know, the interesting thing is that on the 14th, which, of course, is what, next Tuesday? No, next Thursday.
It's a week from today. It's a week from today.
Monica Martinez.
Yeah, exactly.
There's an open house at the Homeless Service Center at 115 Coral Street at what, noon?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
I thought it was at noon, but I saw on the Sentinel today it was at 3 o'clock.
Three o'clock.
Confirm that independently between Robert and I. We may both be wrong.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Monica Martinez, of course, and I have been exchanging correspondence because she's been ducking the issue which homeless people have as to. Can you please give us a letter that says there is no fucking room in the shelter, because there isn't, because that's what her underlings say in court when they're subpoenaed under oath. But apparently she doesn't want to offend either the police department or the city council or the board of directors or I don't know who or her funders, whoever they are. She doesn't want to say that in a letter, and she has refused to do that so far. She's also changed the policy so that you can't go in with a ticket and say, I got a ticket. Can you please give me a letter that said on that date there was no shelter here? Mm. Otherwise, we'll have to subpoena your ass into court to prove it, which is a pain in the ass for everybody involved. And under Doug Loisel and under Ken Cole and under Letitia Schwartz, this was done. Now it is not being done. So Monica Martinez, wise up before we have to, shall we say, publicly expose this kind of bullshit, which is not shouldn't be necessary. You know, shouldn't be necessary.
Well, I do agree. I do think that it's part of an ongoing dialogue. So anybody who wants to contribute to this dialogue and actually put Monica Martinez's feet to the fire on this issue, I would urge you to go to the open house, to go to the Santa Cruz Neighbors event next Tuesday night and raise those questions.
You mean a week from Tuesday? A
week from Tuesday.
Yeah.
October 19th.
So it's next, and a week from today is the thing at 3 o'clock at the Homeless Service Center, 115 Coral Street. I think you also get eats there, so you can get a bite to eat there. And then, unless you bring your own, of course.
Let's keep this dialogue open. Maybe we can make something happen.
And then the Tuesday after that, it's at the Santa Cruz Neighbors will do their little song and dance with the police department
room, 7 o'clock.
With Monica Martinez explaining how the homeless actually in that situation, you know, it's more likely that the neighbors and the police are going to be critical, although hard to say, of the Monica Martinez for other reasons, because there is this movement on city council to defund homeless services, I think, starting with Robinson, Coonerty, and Matthews. And you're going to get Matthews is leaving, but you're going to get a bunch of new right-wingers joining the city council. Unless, of course, you sweep the... I would say, if all eight other candidates commit suicide, you're a shoo-in, man.
Stranger things have happened in Santa Cruz.
I don't know about that, but that would be pretty strange.
We're hoping for the best.
hoping for the best. Let's get into some of the interviews. Although anything else, you mentioned those two events. Any other events? We know about those events. You brought them up at the Huff meeting. Any other? I mean, there's this homeless service center thing and the Monica Martinez thing at the police station. But what else?
We're done with our candidates for this election cycle anyway. So mostly people will be getting out in the street and just talking about the issues.
There's
anytime.
A city council meeting coming up on Tuesday, which I probably should be looking up online. To see
I
what
looked at the agenda, and I also said there was nothing notable on there. You can certainly independently research that, but when I looked at the agenda today, there didn't appear to be anything of moment on there. I'm sure Robert will give you more information later. But as for me, I'm going to have to go, and I always a pleasure to appear on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Well, as I always say to, I rarely say it, but I will say it to you, happy trails to you until we meet again.
I am moved to move.
Indeed. You better move on before you get completely blasted out by that particular... That was Steve Plaich, and Steve and Dennis are exchanging greetings while I look up the shitty council agenda for next Tuesday. And we're going to see if there's anything actually on the agenda for October 12th, which is Tuesday. And it looks like we'll see if Steve is accurate in his analysis. There is only an afternoon session, of course, because we don't want people to actually come to city council meetings in the evening when they might have time to attend. So why not just cram everything onto the afternoon session when nobody's going to want to come anyway? So that's, of course, the usual strategy. Looks like there's some claims against the city. They don't look too exciting. There's a presentation, a mayor's proclamation as World Polio Day. There are, there's this minutes thing coming back to the city council.
That's your friend Ed Davidson who raised that issue?
Well, now, is it coming back or was it voted down? I think it was voted down. I don't think.
Was postponed.
That's right.
It. Yeah.
This is an issue.
This
the city council used to actually
procedures.
Keep minutes of what people said who came up to the mic to some extent. Now, under the new improved, we're not listening to you, so why the hell should we bother to even tell anybody else what you said? That isn't happening anymore, and instead the only time that minutes are kept at city council is for the oral communications sections at the very beginning of the city council meetings.
Well, they keep actions taken, but you don't get...
You get an action agenda, but you don't get any of the conversation or discussion.
Not at all.
And
the
lies being propounded by Mayor Rutkin, and I say lies because they are that somehow if they actually kept these minutes... Hundreds of people would require them to write down, and there'd be vast and lengthy disputes. In fact, I would say, as I think I said to you before, Steve, no more than half a dozen minutes changes came up per year.
Yeah.
Now, that involves a certain amount of time, let's say a total of an hour per year. But if it's a democratic process, then you want to have access to the record, because the record is what lets some other person who doesn't know what happened know what happened.
So they can assess it for themselves. But
so they can at least begin to assess it. And the claim, Rotkin's claim, was, well, they can always get the audio of the whole thing with a CD. Those are only kept for 3 years. And therefore, after 3 years, there ain't nothing there. And plus, audios are much harder to deal with than written records because you have to spin through, find what you're looking for. So this is a way of making the city authorities, the city council, less transparent, less accountable, and make their record more opaque. And it
sucks. The argument that it's going to open the floodgates to this kind of inquiry and the request for the detailed minutes is just not true.
Unsubstantiated, I think we have to say. Looking through the agenda, there's a lot of stuff on the consent agenda. There's a public hearing on a marine sanctuary construction bid. Protest.
They're objecting to that.
Amount of $5 million. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. I'm not quite sure. Also, they're trying to deny the protest, which says, I guess some people are saying don't spend $5 million, and they're saying, oh, come on, the city manager likes it. I don't know. I haven't read it over. That's my suspicion. And there's a couple of bizarre ordinances, water commission appointments, and as you said, there ain't much here. Ah, there's the city manager's monthly camping incident and homeless shelter attendance report. Every month there is, and it's not attached, of course, to the online agenda, so you can't read it. You have to go to the library to find it out. And that is one place, by the way, you can get this stuff. You can get it. Some of it's online, some of it's in the library. somebody you have to get through Public Records Act.
Now, so. What kind of information would you be able to obtain if you went to the library and got that report?
Well, it would tell you how many citations the police department issued per month in the downtown and in the side districts of town for camping violations. Right. It might tell you how many the Parks and Rec issued, which is often the same number.
Mm-hmm.
Parks and Rec often issues as many or more because a lot of them are the Pogonip.
Right.
Although that is recently may have changed because John Wallace's Pogonip goon squads have been a sort of fallen away because of funding problems. I think.
Can also tell you that through the Needle Exchange, we have somebody who does outreach in the Pogonip, and they tell me that activity in the Pogonip, for one reason or another, is about 30% of what it has been previously, in recent times.
And was it you or someone else at the Huff meeting who said that there was a claim that heroin dealers are paying?
Oh, not a claim. My people in the Pogonip
tell me that
the retailers there were paying their clients $5 a bag for trash. And he was telling me that during this program...
Heroin retailers.
During this program, he'd never seen the Pogonip cleaner. And it was just a spontaneous program gesture, tactic, whatever you want to call it, on the part of folks up there to clean up the surrounding areas.
How big a bag?
Average size trash bag, from what I understand.
Now, did you get this is directly from your heroin contact, you junkie, you?
No. He is our Needle Exchange outreach person.
So one of your junkie buddies told you this. In other words, one of your hophead friends.
One of my reliable junkie buddies.
You never know until you know.
Perhaps that could be one of our heroin salesmen calling in. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Dennis, Robert, and Steve. Are you there? Turn down your radio or you will be confused.
Yeah, I'm here.
Southwest. Hi.
Southeast.
Who is
I am confused because I can still hear you talking on there.
Oh, well, turn down your radio, please.
I moved away to the other side of the room.
Oh, good enough. Or plug your
ears. I was listening on my computer, and I was looking at a web page over there.
Uh-huh.
The Homeless Services Report appears to be there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and you've mentioned this before, that they didn't have some information, but it's there.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's sort of like parallel to the agenda.
Well, I'm looking at the agenda, and I notice that there are links in blue on the consent agenda, on the public
appearance. Yeah, the one says information items.
But when you look at the information items, there are no links. So I don't know, maybe where would you find these items?
Here's one from City Manager. It's got homeless shelter attendance report.
It says attendance report, but how do you find it? Where is it? In other words,
I mean, I just clicked on one that says CM.
You can click on it because I'm clicking and there's no link for me. Maybe I'm just maybe I have a worse link than you do. I don't know.
But you had some excellent links the other night at the IHOP. Is that
No. Actually, I didn't have links. I had something else.
So CM apparently is about camping.
Yeah. I mean, the question though is that. Have you found that online? You've got the stats in front of you of the camping this month?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought I'd call you because I've heard you make this point before.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I still can't find it. I'm looking under addendum to City Council agenda, October 12th, information items previously distributed, City Manager, monthly camping, and so there's no link for us here, for me. So I've got to.
What's the page number at the top there? My page is 1344.
1344. This is all one page. Maybe I should just try another.
Well, if you want to drill down, you go to City of Santa Cruz, then you go to City Council, and they've got this agenda page, which is for October 12th.
Yeah, I got that.
And I see agenda is like the fourth link down, but the second link says information items.
Oh, okay. Let me go. Maybe that's the problem. I'm going to go back to that. It's all very nice getting educated on the air. Everybody else sits around and wonders why the hell they're listening to this.
Well, I just don't want you to, spin your wheels when, there may be some information here that you could read.
That is helpful. And Steve Plaich is leaving the studio. For all those who wanted to talk to him, you lose. He's out of here.
But I'll be back.
Find him on the street.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, we'll be giving out flyers in front of New Leaf Market from 11 to 12, for those of you who want to find us. So, caller, if you can... Gosh, I'd love to. I've gone back to the City of Santa Cruz site. Published meetings found 73. I don't know. Is that where you're at? Are you?
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Okay, so where we thought we were on the same page.
Let's start. I started with the City of Santa Cruz website, and here
okay,
I am.
Okay, so there's like a little tab. There's a city.
No, I see information items. There we go. So you actually have to go to a wholly different, and there it is: city manager, camping incidents, finance, and police. So you are quite right. For those of you who want to find, thank you for letting me know about this. That you don't go to the agenda; you go to agenda information items prior to the agenda, actually. And that is where you'll find it on the city. And you indeed can find out what these monthly camping incidents are, and I'll be able to determine once I get them up more about the whole issue. Anything else, caller, that you wish to expose my ignorance and lack of savvy on?
Well, kind of on a similar line, I've heard you more than once complain about the kind of the new rules in the last year or two the former Mayor Coonerty and Mayor Rotkin have changed the way that that people get to speak to the city council. I guess I'm talking about the consent agenda.
Yes.
I live in San Lorenzo Valley, which I understand you do too. So I don't really pay that much attention to city politics. Try to avoid it, actually. But at the county level, they have all kinds of people who speak at the Board of Supervisors meetings, and since I've been paying attention to it,
right.
They seem to, they don't really seem to listen very carefully to what people have to say.
But they don't.
Do seem to let them have their say.
Right. You can actually speak, even if there's a long line, you have to speak at the end of the Board of Supervisors meeting, but
as long as they just suspend it for a while, they say, well, we're going to do some business now, and we'll come back and have more oral communications
right.
in a couple hours or something.
Right, but not in the city council meetings, unfortunately.
Well, okay, so the difference, I guess what I'm getting at here is, I may have flipped on the TV and seen you at some city council meetings, too. Now, basically, what they do at the county level is if you show up there during that first couple minutes, and then they say, well, we're about to do the consent agenda, does anybody have an item they want to pull?
And
pull it out of the consent agenda and move it off to the back of the agenda so that they
right.
can take it as a separate item and discuss it separately.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody member of the public says, yes, I want to address you on item 35, then they say, okay. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard a case where they say, well, we're not sure if we really want to talk about that.
Are you talking about the city or the county?
County.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And the reason that's the case is that's required by law.
Yeah, that's the Brown Act.
Yeah, well, you'd think it's the Brown Act, but when I talk to some watchdogs of the Brown Act up in San Francisco, they said that the essentially, I think, abusive procedure used by the Santa Cruz City Council, which says we'll give you 2 minutes to talk on all items, and then we'll give you another 2 minutes if the council decides to pull your item off the agenda.
Yeah, well,
that
this is okay. This is what I was trying to come around to.
Right.
Is sometimes when I've observed what you're doing, you go up there and you say, well, I want to pull a bunch of these items. And I want to get a certain number of minutes on each item. I mean, I guess they're down to 2 minutes now is the standard amount of time you get at the city council.
Right.
Two minutes.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes what I see is that you'll say, well, I want to pull five items, and I want 2 minutes on each item. And I can sort of see from their point of view that they might feel like are you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, they might feel like that's asking a lot, maybe. Maybe they feel like that. Or they get tired of hearing it. What I'm thinking is if you went there and you really only had one item that you wanted to talk about that was on the consent agenda that you wanted to pull,
mm-hmm.
and you said, let me talk about this one item,
mm-hmm.
somehow I think that's a lot more clear. You got a more clear case. if you go up there and say, I want to pull a whole bunch of these items and get 2 minutes on each one, I'm just trying to be objective here, an objective observer, but it's verging on abusive to do that. But if you really want to make a point about something, and I'm not saying that you're only entitled to talk about one thing either. I'm not saying that either.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that, so what I'm getting to is the next thing is, suppose they denied you your 2 minutes.
Which they frequently do.
I think that's, you don't need to make a lot of cases about it. I mean, I think you got a perfectly good case there.
No, not really.
The public wanted a public hearing on item 35, and they wouldn't let you have it.
You know, I think I wish I'd.
You ought to go to the state attorney general.
Well, you may be right, and either the state attorney general or the local courts might be an
attorney
avenue.
Attorney general, I think, is the one on the Brown Act. Go to the attorney general and say, "I insist."
Yeah, well, as I mentioned to you before, though, you know, a caller, I raised this issue with the what's it called, the Freedom. There's a group in San Francisco, the California Freedom of, not of Information, but it has a name, something like that. And they are, you know, they have a militant website about the Brown Act. And I emailed them and said, you know, this procedure that Santa Cruz is now using that Ryan Coonerty put into power in 2007, actually, is when he did it, is, you know, it says you only get 2 minutes for all items on the agenda total. And if you want to talk for on a specific item beyond that, you can't.
Well, his policy seems to also be, we'll let you have the hearing. Basically, I mean, that's a public hearing is what that is. They hear from the public, and he basically says, you can have your public hearing if a city council member agrees
correct.
With you.
Correct, correct. You said that.
That's just totally...
That's hogwash.
According to my understanding, that's completely contrary to the Brown Act.
You know, but the problem is that, and again, I'm not an expert on the Brown Act, but my understanding from a cursory response from this group is that because they're providing some kind of public comment period, even though it's only a two-minute period for all the items put together as one big glob, that somehow satisfies the Brown Act. I don't think it. It seems to me, if it does, it doesn't. It shouldn't. I mean, it shouldn't. It shouldn't be something we should accept. But I have so many irons in the fire myself that I do not, you know, really have the time to and the energy to focus on this particular thing. Now, somebody out there wants to help me who's, you know, has a passion for this. Hey, I'd love to. I'd be happy to deal with it. I'd be happy to stand up there. I mean, I've been arrested for this in the past.
Yeah, I know. I've seen you. Actually, that video of Bucky Baker arresting you is pretty classic because he goes over to Barisone and he says, well, what is it I'm supposed to arrest him for again?
What is it? Yeah. I mean, but I was arrested after that because there was a situation where Rotkin produced rules that were not quite as repressive as Coonerty's rules. But Rotkin's rules were that you only had a total of 5 minutes for all items, and you could only talk on 2 minutes per item and 5 minutes maximum, which may make a little more sense, but is still, you know, if you want to talk on an item on the consent agenda, that's part of the democratic process. I'm sorry. I mean, as you might point out, it might look better to people out there if you were condensing your comments, seeming to be a little more in line with the flow of what the city council wants to do. But, you know, I'm not really in line with the flow of what the city council wants to do. I'm, in fact, standing against the flow of what the city council wants to do often. And therefore, I try to make a space for people who don't have any opportunity on the agenda. And it's also true that I don't usually take off 5 items. You know, it's happened on one or two occasions that I've taken off a number of items. And there was one occasion when I took off 8 items in response to what they had done the meeting before, which was, in essence, to throw all the items I requested, I think, to the end of the agenda at 11 o'clock at night, when the normal time would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I only had a few items. But it was an attempt, in essence, to say, we don't want to hear what you have to say. And we don't want the community to hear what you have to say.
Well, yeah, they're kind of clear that they don't want to hear from you.
Right, and that's fine. You know, I'm not interested, frankly, in believing they're going to give me a sympathetic hearing. But people have a right to speak. And I think that people have to assert that right to speak because we're not just talking to them. We're talking to each other. That's,
well, I totally agree with you, but I'm just thinking it would be a lot more clear cut if you went up there and said, I want to speak on one item that's on the consent agenda for 2 minutes.
Which I have done.
And if they say, well, let's look around and see if there's a city council member that wants to go along with that, and there's none, and they say, well, sorry, we're not going to let you speak, that's a direct violation
of
the Brown Act. And then if they ever did that once...
Then
I think you should press it all the way.
Sure.
You know, get the state attorney general going on it. And then they would find out that their rules are illegal.
You would think so. But see, their point would be, well, you want to talk on that item? You have 2 minutes right now to talk on that item. We're not going to pull it from the agenda, but you have your 2 minutes. And you can talk about it right now if you want. That's what they'll tell you. They'll say, we can add, you see, it's not just a matter of saying, I want to take the item from the agenda. You can talk about it for that two-minute period that you could try to persuade them. But that's all the time you get for that item and every other item on the consent agenda as a lump. So they will say to the courts or to the state attorney general, hey, he was able to talk on that item. He had 2 minutes. You know, he just couldn't talk on other items, or he had to apportion his time. And like you would say, he has to be reasonable. You know, he should pick out one or two items, and then he can talk on those items for 1 minute each. And if he can persuade a council member, then they'll pull the item, and that's their argument. But I don't think it has much merit. But I you know, and
well, the way I think of it is that any time they say, well, I'm not sure, any time the mayor, you know, whoever's presiding.
Mayor Coonerty is the one
coming
up.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes the mayor's not there, so it's the vice mayor or something.
Yeah, it'll be
else.
Coonerty after November.
The chairman, whoever's chairing the meeting,
right.
if you ever say, I want to speak on a consent agenda item, and the chairman of the meeting turns to the city council and says, is that okay with you? That violates the Brown Act. In my opinion.
Right, they don't do that. What they do instead is they say, go ahead, talk about the item, and also you can give us some reason why you might want to have us pull that item from the agenda. And so that is how they get around that. In other words, they tell you, they don't stop you. It's just they don't give you any more time. They will allow you 2 minutes for 15 items total. Unless you're allowed to pull the item from the agenda, unless they choose to do that. I've continually asked Byers and Lane and Madrigal, who claimed in the last electoral cycle that they wanted more public comment time, I think you may have heard this, may talk about this on the show if you're a regular listener, to make it a point to say if anybody asks for an item to be pulled off the agenda, unless they're talking about 10 items, we're going to pull them off. And I can't get them to agree to do that. They're all essentially a bunch of chicken hearts, as far as I'm concerned.
Say that again. It sounds like you just said was almost like what they say at the county.
They've agreed to say, yeah, they've agreed to restore the process at the city council that they had previous to the Coonerty rule change in 2006, which is, if a member of the public wants an item pulled from the agenda, we will pull it from the agenda. And they don't see, it's not like they don't have to.
They've offered that?
They have not.
Oh.
I have continued to request it, and they've refused. They have said they want to provide more public comment, but when I bring that up, they look the other way, you know, and stare at the ceiling or smile or whatever. So, I appreciate the call, caller. Anything else you want to add?
Well, I guess, yeah, this is on another subject, I guess, but it's something I've been thinking about ever since you had this demonstration starting in July.
Uh-huh. Peace Camp 2010.
Yeah, it's hard for me to call it that, but
that's what they call it. That's what the founder called it. I didn't name it. I don't much like the name either. But
the founder is that Chris Doyon or
no, Ed Frye,
Ed, yeah,
the attorney.
Ed. I mean, in a way, I have been homeless myself.
Uh-huh.
So I have had this experience, but I probably wasn't a typical homeless person. Because
uh-huh.
I had a job the whole time I was homeless. But basically, during my period of homelessness, it was a cat-and-mouse game. Now, I didn't go down to the city of Santa Cruz. I was staying in the county where I had been housed before I was homeless. And the city was the last place I was going to want to go hang out. All I wanted to do was sleep. So I could go back to work.
What kind of work did you do?
I was working over in Silicon Valley.
Uh-huh.
So it was a cat and mouse game every night. You know, I tried to go to some place that was secluded.
Uh-huh.
And just get some shut eye.
How long were you homeless?
Well, it was about 4 months that I was totally homeless. There was a little bit of a period before that when I crashed at a friend's for a while, you know, but eventually kind of wore out my welcome there.
Yeah, it can happen.
And then there was another friend that let me crash for a while. And eventually I met this really nice church lady
mm-hmm.
who let me stay in a very small space
mm-hmm.
that she had.
But let me move on to your criticism, because I do have a guest in the studio who has been waiting for
20
minutes.
Well, I guess it's just this cat and mouse idea that, you know, it seems like what your demonstration has made clear to me, or at least I feel like it made clear to me, that because of the way things developed at the county building in that first interval, you know, which was, I guess, 5 weeks or so,
uh-huh.
when there were so many complaints, the sculpture got busted,
didn't get busted. They claimed it was chipped by us. The claim of the protesters was it wasn't. That was the way it was before, but go ahead.
Well, that's a really nice sculpture. You know, it's a nice place to hang out there for a while when you're trying to cool your heels while you're waiting for somebody. You're trying to meet somebody.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
smoking
the sculpture is still there as far as
about
I know,
whatever's going on in court, you know.
It's pretty much the same shape it was before, but go ahead.
Well, it's just this, it's a cat and mouse game where you, now I got stopped by the cops. In 4 months, I got stopped 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
And each time I moved along. Well, I guess actually the first half dozen times I moved along. And the last couple times the cops went away. So I think there was some sort of a learning process that went there that kind of happened. Somehow after enough experience, I learned what to say to the cops that made them just go away.
We're talking about the sheriffs or about the police department?
Well, I think it was never the police because I was never in the city, but it was either sheriffs, rangers, and maybe even a CHP officer.
I'm going to have to kind of roll you up here pretty quickly because, you know, we've been on for this about 15 minutes now.
Well, I'm just talking about the cat and mouse aspect. I mean, so I guess it's kind of seeming to me like you can't really expect to achieve a result where it's legal to just camp anywhere.
It's not anywhere. We're looking for a somewhere. It's not anywhere.
See, but even the somewhere, I mean, that's kind of what got demonstrated by the demonstration, is that there can't even be a somewhere.
Well, that is yet to be proven. In Los Angeles, the Jones decision made the police stop, at least they're supposed to stop, harassing people for sleeping, and in fact, they don't. And
well, the Jones decision was overturned, though.
It wasn't overturned. They settled, but the settlement involved an injunctive demand that the police stop enforcing the law in the way that the Jones decision required. In fact, it expanded it. It expanded it to the whole city with some clarification that has to be, you have to be 10 feet from a business, and it's only until there are 1,200 affordable housing units created, which haven't been created yet as far as I know. So, the Jones decision was not overturned. It was overturned as a precedent, but it was not overturned in terms of how it impacted L.A., and similarly with San Diego. So, no, that has been done in a number of cities, Laguna Beach, Richmond, other places.
Well, you know, I totally agree with you that sleeping is not a crime.
Right.
Using a blanket is not a crime.
Right.
I think it's absurd that even sitting and lying, which is another thing that you talk about, I totally agree with you.
Yeah,
these are not crimes.
You have criticism. You have criticism about the peace camp situation, which, you know, I'm going to have to. We'll have to give you about like 15 seconds to wind it up. So give me your criticism.
I guess I don't know how you're going to get to a point where you can say, yeah, you can have this place to sleep. Because it's just going to always be a cat and mouse game. It just seems to me that that's just inevitable. If someone doesn't have a place to live, it's always going to be a cat and mouse game where you're trying to go hide.
Caller, give me your first name before you go.
Bob.
Bob, thank you for calling, and I'm going to have to leave it there, but thank you for giving me your thoughts.
Okay, well, thanks for listening.
No problem. Man.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And the answer is, sure, it's a cat and mouse game, but also it's a matter of pressure by, I think, the community and allied organizations, and it can change, and it has changed in different cities, usually through court action and sometimes through other action. But that's, you know, it hasn't changed here yet, although there was a legal change. We've talked about the changes in the ordinance, which now says if you are on a waiting list, you are not subject to the camping ordinance in the sense that you're not illegal anymore. I mean, they can still ticket you, but you can take your ticket to the city attorney and get it dismissed. So that change happened after Peace Camp 2010 did its protest. In the studio with me is the ineffable, or actually quite effable, Dennis Holt, who has been sitting here waiting patiently, looking very tired. Hi, Dennis.
I'm rather effing as well.
Yes.
Well, here we are under the wise and benevolent gaze of the Dalai Lama himself, right over your right shoulder.
Picture of the Dalai Lama is in the studio.
Yeah. Well, it is. That's
his holiness, as they say.
So nice to be here with you. You know, the last few visits to this wonderful top-secret underground studio of Pirate Radio.
Not so secret, it appears.
You made
your way here.
No, it's an accident. I went to Sylvan Music looking for D strings and learned about their office hours. I mean, their open hours, which aren't where I got there too late. I'll be back again. So I'm walking down Laurel, and there's this car with bumper stickers, and I put one and one and
you
two
saw
and two
my
together.
Car,
yeah,
I
said, oh, it's Thursday.
So,
yeah.
So
the last few times
so
I was here, I
car.
Came on the Spanish language show that was on Wednesday nights. You know, I was here a few times over the last few years doing songs in Spanish, and we actually had a lady come, and we did a duo. That was with Mictlantecuhtli, who is now off in the Southland, way south. I don't know where he went.
You have some announcements.
Yes, I do. I'd like to just go through the calendar a little bit. Today, it turns out, is the birth anniversary. I believe it would be number 76, entering his 77th year of the man born Leroy Jones, and now Amiri Baraka, who is one of the greatest speakers of
Amiri
the English
Baraka?
Language. Amiri Baraka, yeah, who's off there in New
Great
Jersey,
poet.
Happy and healthy, we think. So,
but he also is under some, he's under some pressure, I believe. At
well,
least
everybody
a decade,
is.
A decade ago, he was getting a lot of shit from
authorities. Oh, well, they made him
poet
laureate of New Jersey and then and declared that the legislature couldn't fire him, and then he made some commentary about Israel being somehow complicit in the 9/11 disaster, and then they fired
him.
Well,
a number of people have had
that
opinion.
Yeah, that's what happened to Baraka. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to do a little astronomical deal here. And then
astronomical or astrological?
A little both.
Okay.
Both astronomical,
okay.
It's both. Mm-hmm. Yeah, more astrological, I guess. And it leads up to what I'm doing this weekend, and I want to make this announcement. You heard about this via email if you opened the communique, but maybe
I probably don't.
Okay. Well, it turns out we are in the sign of Libra, and the planet of Libra is bright in the sky. Right now in the West, Venus. And today, maybe you people have never thought about this, but Libra, being the balance, of course, has a center, important center point, which is the fulcrum where the balance is balanced from. And it turns out if you count 15 one way and then 15 the other, it's tonight at midnight between the 7th and 8th of October is the fulcrum of Libra, the balance. So tomorrow is when the balance tips. And it turns out tomorrow will be the 43rd anniversary of the capture of Che Guevara.
I see.
And then he killed him the next day on October 9th, which was John Lennon's 27th birthday that year in 67. This year we add 43 plus 27. We get 70 years for John Lennon.
It's numerology here.
Yeah, but he has a birthday. John Lennon's 70th birthday will be this Saturday. And this fits into this scheme that I've been plotting for some time. I am throwing what I refer to as a bardic conclave and Congress on Poetics, which will take place this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The public events are Saturday and Sunday, and they will take place in San Lorenzo Park in a cork oak grove. We have cork oaks there.
Where is that, actually?
The cork oaks, they're all over, but this cork oak grove is south of the pedestrian bridge, between the pedestrian bridge and the children's playground.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And we will meet there at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And I'm going to give you a list of the participants, people from the local community who have agreed to sit around in the woods and play at druids and rishis and talk about what's this supposed to going to be, this world that we live in. And I quote Walt Whitman here. Whitman says in his great poem, By Blue Ontario's Shore, their presidents shall not be their common referee so much as their poets shall. And they, in that phrase, it refers to the people of these states, an oft occurring phrase in Whitman. So let me read who's all this list of local characters, and you may know some of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to name them and their bailiwick briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Atchison, science and technology. Jesudas Baba, musician. He's going to lead us in a Beatles sing-along at 4 o'clock.
Is this a Swami, perhaps?
This is our Swami Baba, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The Dharma Blanket Swami.
Okay.
Jesudas Baba is going to, he sings all Beatles songs. He's going to lead us in a John
Lennon
sing-along.
He's quite a singer. You can often hear him singing out on
yes.
The wharf.
He's going to be
the wharf,
so in the same place in the park at 4. We're going to have 2 hours of sitting around talking, all these people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nick Atchison, science technology. Barnaby Bloomer, this may amaze some people in the company
here. I've heard of Barnaby.
He's going to be the keynote speaker on poetics, assuming he's okay. He's a kind of a tentative. He's a poet.
He's a health problem. Okay.
There may be that. Yeah. Anita Chundak, he's going to talk about poetry as a healing art. Paul Galen, our local herbalist, who is also a poet. You may not know that. Talk about botany and herbalism. Myself, as poet linguist, talk about language and semiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Arindam Krishnadas, also known as Ed Levy. You may know him as a musician and director locally of musical theater and so on. He'll talk about music theater. Ron Lampe, poet, mythologist. He's going to talk about allegory and myth.
All at 2 o'clock on Saturday in San Lorenzo Park.
Well, a subset of these people will be featured each day. The second day will take place on Sunday at noon.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And this is in commemoration of 10-10-10. You see, the whole thing is based on 10-10-10 being a very mystical number, which we're going to have on Sunday.
Mm.
Okay, so that'll be at noon on Sunday. Oh, I should say, if you'd like to join us, and this is really mostly for the principal participants, but if you would like to, we're going to have a Sunday brunch at exactly 10-10. We're going to meet at the town clock at 10 and watch it become 10-10 on 10-10-10, and then retire from that particular vantage. You go into Los Pinos, And it is Pinos, not Pinos, by the way. There's no tilde, and it means pine trees. Los Pinos restaurant right there and have brunch, okay? And then, as I say,
are
Sunday afternoon.
Are you paying for the brunch?
Only for the principal official participants,
you
yes.
got to pay your own
no,
brunch.
Yeah, people who are not part of the list that I'm still reading. Okay, mm-hmm. Bodo Langen, a local arts educator with Waldorf Schools, will be there on Sunday. He's not going to be there on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And finally, Mark Moody, MD, who's a musician as well as a physician, will be there, and we're going to have some music. And I have there's these other people who may or may not be there. They have not agreed, but they're on the list still. Tomas Coyote, a buddy of mine from up in the Pacific Northwest, just may come, an all-around social critic and gadfly. He talks about politics and society. I was hoping to have as featured guest Robert J. McLeese, retired professor of electrical engineering at Caltech and a world-class specialist on information theory, but he has a hard time getting things together, so I don't think he's going to be here. William Muir, a local painter, just may probably be there. He's the man who has painted the paintings on the temporarily defunct Veterans Memorial Building, if you'd like to see some of his work there. And he's adding to those landscapes there. And finally, Nicholas Whitehead, local poet
Nutcracker
and playwright.
Mm-hmm.
He may be there, although I haven't gotten any confirmation from him. So it's going to be about poetics. And what poetics is, according to Paul Valery, is this: a name for everything that bears on the creation or composition of works having language at once as their substance and as their instrument. And the Russian poet Joseph Brodsky, in his Nobel Prize acceptance speech, points out that since language is the unique human faculty, no other species has language, then mustn't it be the case that if we are to be most human, we must cultivate and refine our linguistic capabilities?
Well, I don't
and
want
so well, this is what
like
he said.
A speciesist
don't argue
here.
With Joseph Brodsky.
Well,
I'm just paraphrasing
argue.
Him.
Why
you
not?
Can argue
I
with
mean,
him later after I tell you what
no
he said.
Question.
So he said, it doesn't look like poetry should be the highest calling, the most hope to achieve endeavor of the human species. That's
spoken
what he said.
Poet,
and so I think so too. And I say here, join thinkers, poets, artists in dynamic and wide-ranging conversation about what poets need to know so as to best serve society as the common referee of the people.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is called, I'm naming this after my linguistics guru, William Oliver Bright, who was my graduate advisor at UCLA. He happened to have been the father of Susie Bright, our local Susie Bright, Susie
nice.
Sexpert,
Susie.
Who was invited, but she's probably in France or somewhere. I don't know
uh-huh.
where she is. Well, she does go there, I understand. And also named after Norman O. Brown, who everybody knows, who was a
psychoanalyst.
With, yeah. Well, no. He was a professor of humanities, but yes, he was
a writer.
He was a Freudian
sure.
and a poet. Yeah, but he wasn't a psychoanalyst. He was a professor
in
of humanities.
In any case, it's all happening on Saturday and Sunday
at
San Lorenzo
right.
Park.
2 o'clock on Saturday, 12 o'clock on Sunday.
And 10 o'clock on Sunday if you want to be
right.
in the brunch
if you
at the
want
town
to have brunch at Los Pinos. And it's going to be in the Cork Oak Grove in San Lorenzo Park. One more thing. On the 16th of October,
yeah.
I will be part of a gang of people who are going to present another episode in a series of Sparring with Beatnik Ghosts poetry readings, which have been
goodness.
Taking place all over California under the impresarial auspices of one Daniel Yarian. And this is on Oscar Wilde's birthday on October 16th at the Felix Kupa Gallery, I believe beginning around 7 o'clock.
Where is the Felix Kupa Gallery?
It's at it's between Streetlight Records and the Elm Street Mission,
gotcha.
And right there on Elm Street
near
across
near the
from
bus
the
station.
Key House Spa.
Near
right
the bus station.
There, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
And finally, let me remind everybody, if you want to find out what I said when I was running for president in 2008 under the Peace Corps banner, you can still get that information in 3 hours worth of YouTube stuff on Peace Force 13. That's the name of the channel. And my cultural variety show there called Orphic Koans and Teriyaki Tacos.
Let me ask you here,
because
we've got a lot of announcements and information about, particularly for people who are... See, my show does not normally concern itself a lot with poetry, although occasionally I read a little poetry.
Interesting relief from
some think anything would be a relief, but I am concerned with civil rights and Santa Cruz, and I know you've had your run-ins with the authorities here.
Oh, yeah.
What's your estimation of how things are going in Santa Cruz? You've been here for how many years now?
I got here at the end of 2003, so I'm going on 7 years.
And what's is there a difference between 2003 and 2010 in terms of how things are on the streets? What's your sense?
Well, you know, I don't see any regular cyclicity to the cops' behavior, but they go into these flurries of picking on people every once in a while. You know, they suddenly decide they're going to crackdown. Now we got these private cops going around checking musicians and stuff. I heard that was happening.
False alarm security.
First alarm, yeah, not false alarm.
I call it false alarm, you would do that, actually.
Yeah.
I would call it false alarm.
Yeah.
What about the community, your feeling about the community? I mean, I know the laws have gotten much worse. That's been my perspective. But do you, what's your feeling as a musician who plays regularly on the streets, as a person who comes down to Santa Cruz with regularity?
There are certain events that serve as nexi, if I can use that term, or let's put it this way, buses in the electrical circuitry sense, where people come together and connect with one another. Mm-hmm. Two of the events I think of importantly in this regard, one of them has been moved, and that's the Wednesday Drum Circle.
It's
much smaller. It doesn't attract people from the market situation, so because there, it's way over on the levee now.
It's been driven around.
Yeah,
and ending up there.
Another event that is very crucial, and I mean central to the community that it, that has developed and persists on the street, is the, and there are others of these, but the one that I'm most aware of is, I'm talking about free meals. And the Monday afternoon free meal at the Red Church, mm-hmm. I believe, is the most significant. Well, I, as I say, I don't observe all of them, but as far as I can see, the most significant place where very important individuals who are, who predominate on the street scene. They predominate because they know the territory, because they persist. They're not vagrants in the sense of vagabonds. I mean, people who are nomads.
More rooted, you mean?
They're more rooted, even mm-hmm. though they may be homeless, living in vehicles and so on.
And you're talking about Father Joel's meal, in essence.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Father Joel, who's recently been, there's been a controversy exposed to some extent in the Santa Cruz Weekly about Cynthia Matthews and other lemon up their asses type people. No offense to you, Cynthia, but that's how I see you.
What?
Lemon up their asses.
Oh,
lemon. I'm going to say people who are seem to be very straight-laced, conservative, demanding of other people that they adopt a certain standard which they may not want to adopt, who are, you know, they were the same people that tried to drive away, that successfully drove away Renee Curry from her ministry there when she had a weekly ministry there. All, you know, she was a groundskeeper at that building a year ago. And the same people that tried to criminalize people who were coming to Jack's Hamburgers, who just wanted to buy burgers, and we were able to stop that.
Because they were part of the same community from across the street.
Because they didn't want them hanging out across the street, so Jack's Hamburgers decided, you can't patronize my store. We were able to persuade her to change her position on that, to her credit, and they people were served again. But the same mentality, I think, is now going after Father Joel, who, full disclosure, ordered me off the property a year ago when we were organizing a protest, and he felt that it was, you know, I don't know, maybe he was nervous about his sponsors not liking it, because he does have a lot of conservative people in the church who he has to answer to.
Well, it's a good place to organize. I think I was tending to imply that if you want to get to some of these people who are significant members of the street community, that would be a
every
good place
Monday,
to find
5:30
them.
Or
right.
6. And there's also Ronnie does her hourly Bible study, and Paul Lee has his Penny University there
in the
nearby,
adjoining
parish area.
Hall, that's right.
Right. So the number of things are happening there.
The French doors, is that what you call it?
I guess. I don't
double
know.
French doors. Mm-hmm. If we're doing full disclosure, let me point. I'm not going to name names, but you know I have this mythic government organization, which is now about 60 strong and stretched all over the world. We have a.
You are the secret government.
It's not secret at all. It's very open.
The invisible government.
It's dispersed and it's not
the
it's
future
mythic.
Government.
It's mythic. Is what it is.
The
we talk
potential and, government.
We talk and we have no. Power. We have no official.
The power
authority.
Of the What's, word.
That's exactly right. It's mm-hmm. what. I have some quotations not with me, but William Carlos Williams talks about the government of artists and poetry, and Shelley, I believe, says that
artists
are the
legislative poets. I'm now going to talk about people from the street and give them a chance to talk with these interviews. But
yeah, thank
Dennis,
you for the time.
Sure,
Robert,
and how can people
be in here?
For people who haven't been able to catch all the details of what you've been saying, is there a website people can go
not
to?
Not anymore. When I was a candidate, I had a temporary website, but I let the domain
is there an email
name.
Address people can
yes,
email
me,
you
let
at?
Me give that to you. And that's the best way to get at me. And if you have further questions about this bardic conclave, and let me define what a bard is. Etymologically, the bard comes from the Welsh language, and it refers to the Celtic shaman.
People know what a bard is. What's your website? Give me your website.
Okay, it's not a website. It's my email address.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. So it's It's Dionisio77, Amos. I'll spell that. Dionisio77 at yahoo.com. The Dionisio is Dennis in Spanish. D-I-O-N-I-S-I-O 77. D-I-O-N-I-S-I-O 77 at yahoo.com.
Dionisio77 at yahoo.com. If you want to get a hold of Uncle Dennis here, or Dennis the Bard, as I call him, because we have another Uncle Dennis who's about to come in about half an hour into the studio to do his show.
May I do a two-line recent poem?
Sure.
Okay, just two lines. My mother was born on Einstein's birthday, which is the 14th of March. So this is, and I just came up with this reason. It has nothing to do with my mother. It's called On Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
Things turn into stuff when you move them fast enough.
Well, think about
that.
Thank
you, Robert. It's been a delight. Hey, you know, I noticed today for the first time there is Korean written on one of your walls. Here,
really?
Along with every other language.
Very
in the
interesting.
World. Yeah, and they got the four trigrams from the Korean flag: fire and water and earth. And sky or heaven all there, too. And I don't know what it says
it
in Korean, but it is Korean.
It takes an educated man to know that.
Red marker.
I know we have a lot of Spanish, some graffiti, and then a number of bonehead English comments.
I was going to teach you how to say thank you in Tibetan. I learned again today.
One more.
Tujeche.
Tujeche.
Thank you in Tibetan. And might as well do Korean while we're here, too. Kamsamnida.
Kamsamnida. And kamsamnida to you, Uncle Dennis.
See you later.
All right. Let's have a little musical break here, and... I'll be back.
10-10 is the Chinese day of good luck.
Let's keep that in mind.
Did you hear that?
Just this morning, the future looked rather precarious, but life's full of surprises.
From 1600 Transylvania Avenue, and it's called A Guy Named Gene. It's a triple album, City for Sale, Eating It, and 1600 Transylvania Avenue, one of the few put out by the San Francisco Mime Troupe. I've begged them for years to put out their 50 years or 40 years of musicals, but I guess they don't have the financial backing or motivation or good enough recordings. I don't know, whatever it is. And also, I guess part of it is I'm an obsessive collector, and I collect this and I collect that, even stuff that might not be too collect-worthy. You can get in touch here and talk about stuff we're talking about. Free Radio Santa Cruz is what you're listening to. 101.1 FM, freakradio.org, call in number 427-3772, area code 831-427-3772, off-air number, if you want to reach me off-air, 423-4833. I won't be there, but you can leave me a message, 831-423-4833. If you want to leave the Radio Collective here a message, that means you want to be a member, or you want to donate something, got a question, got a criticism, comment, there is a phone number to call, and that is 831-427-4523, 831-427-4523. And many of these numbers can be found at the website of Free Radio, or Freak Radio as we call ourselves, at freakradio.org, freakradio.org. I haven't been doing a lot of writing for Indie Bay, which is a website I often post on, and also it's a website where a number of other people post as well. But there is an article I posted on the Peace Camp 2010, which gives something of an update on what has been told to me about Peace Camp 2010. I'm getting regular reports now from the courthouse because people who are ticketed by the police for the crime of sleeping are now going to court. They're actually facing misdemeanor charges of up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine penalty, potentially, for the crime of sleeping either on the steps of the county building or over at City Hall in a city that has zero legal shelter at night for people who want it. You can get on a waiting list, but you can't get into shelter, generally speaking. And this is well known, as I've mentioned endlessly on this show. In fact, the city attorney himself, and I believe in an attempt to avoid lawsuits, and maybe, who knows, maybe it was a compassionate gesture. Let's hope that it was. Not just simply a mechanical, calculated gesture to avoid legal repercussions. The law was changed recently to say that if you're on a waiting list over at the Homeless Service Center, you will get your citation dismissed if you get one, and the law will not apply to you. And we'll see how that goes. We are actually going to be testing that law in the days ahead. And if you want to learn more about this whole thing, I'll be in front of the New Leaf Market at Soquel and Pacific tomorrow between 11 and 12, along with that popular man about the city council races, Steve, who was on the air earlier, Steve Plate, who I recommend you vote for if you're going to vote at all in this election. The rest of the candidates I don't have too much to say about because they apparently don't believe homeless people exist, or if they do, it's okay for the city to criminalize them to death because that's what the city is doing, and they are supporting those activities, or at least clearly not actively opposing them. And when the most obvious criminalization of the poor, the sleeping ban itself, is not opposed, then it's hard to believe that the compassionate claims mean anything. At least that's my view. Anyway, go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz if you want to check out what I wrote about Peace Camp 2010. The story is Peace Camp 2010 trades curbside for courtroom. You can also go to the Santa Cruz Peace Camp website, which is www.peacecamp2010.blogspot.com, which has an article, Peace Camp 2010 Ends Protest Phase, Begins Judicial Phase. And let's hear now from some street interviews, and probably some of them will roll around to Peace Camp, but I am attempting to cast a broader net, spend a lot of time on Peace Camp, and you're still going to hear a lot of interviews from Peace Camp because I've got to catch up with a lot of that back stuff, and I think a lot of it is very important, not so much specifically because of the particular nature of the protest, but because of the abusive response of the authorities, which shows that anybody who is opposing city policies will be faced or could be faced with a lot of ad hoc laws that are suddenly cooked up, selective enforcement, process that is not authorized by law, seizure of property, violation of First Amendment rights, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, let's hear a little bit of some recent interviews. Okay, well, it is October 6th, 2010,
and it's around 2:45, and I'm here in Yan Flower with a man who has experienced a number of difficulties and wants to talk about them. Your name again?
Miguel Portillo.
And Miguel, you, we're going to interrupt this occasionally with the opportunity for you to have a sip of soup, because you got a soup bowl in front of you. But you were telling me that about 8 months ago, you had a situation where your property was stolen twice?
Yeah, twice. Twice.
And what property was taken?
First is my backpack, after other stuff, and I tried to make report to the police, but they no want to do report about me.
What did they tell you when you asked to make a report?
Because they say no needed, because I can explain very well who stole my stuff or something like that.
So you wanted to write it, you wanted it written down, but they wouldn't write it down?
It's my problem. I don't understand very well English. I don't know.
You speak Spanish.
Okay.
Do you hablas español?
Sí.
And did they offer you someone who speaks Spanish to talk with you?
Yeah, the first time somebody speaks Spanish, they told me that they can, ellos no podían hacer el reporte.
They couldn't make the report.
Me imagino que ellos no pueden ni escribir el español porque no lo entienden bien.
So the machine didn't speak Spanish because everyone understood. Can you translate that for us?
Me imagino que por eso no quisieron hacer el reporte. Y la segunda vez igual no quisieron hacer el reporte.
They didn't want to make the report.
La tercera vez me robaron otra vez. Traté de recuperar mis cosas por mi persona porque ellos no querían hacer nada. Y los blancos que me robaron mis cosas llamaron a la policía y yo fui a la cárcel por 2 semanas.
Slow down, let me get this down. But the third time, you saw your property, you went to get it, and you, instead they called the police on you, these white guys, and the police arrested you and you spent 2 weeks in jail. Is that accurate?
Sí, así es.
Mm-hmm.
Y después, otros problemas que han venido, otros tickets. Viví en Pasatiempo, me sacaron de allá. Viví atrás del cementerio, me sacaron de allá. Vivía al otro lado, en la entrada del 17, del 17, aquí por el Dennis. Me sacaron de allí.
You got a number of other tickets. I'm not following exactly what they were for. Let me again. You get this, I get this. No, this is for you. I'm sorry. Yes. What were these other tickets for? ¿Qué cosas para las otras?
Tengo tickets por camping. Me dijeron que el próximo ticket iba a ir a la cárcel también.
Tickets for camping and for what else?
Sí. Y por eso, por recuperar mis cosas, pelear por mis cosas, tengo corte y tengo otros problemas también. Ya después de eso, me han perseguido, me han tratado. Un policía que se llama Inoyu, él ha andado investigando con los blancos acerca de mí, qué hago, qué... Bueno, me han perseguido y no creo que eso esté bien.
Yo puedo entender un poco, pero pienso que hay ellos que hablan español que pueden entender esta situación, pero yo, mi español es demasiado pequeño, entonces no puedo entender todo lo que tú dices, pero posiblemente es bastante, maybe it's enough that those who speak Spanish, ellos que hablan español, se puede entender, those who speak Spanish can understand, because we do have esa estación, hay ellos que hablan y otros que ellos que entienden español allá. Entonces, are you going to court now? ¿Vas a la corte ahora?
14 de este mes tengo corte.
And what is the charge? What are they saying you did?
Por camping tengo corte.
¿Sí?
Nos agarraron como a 5, encontraron un poco de droga, tratan de decir que es mía.
In English?
They try to charge me something because I am only Spanish, stay in this place. The other is white people.
Is it camping or is it something else?
Camping.
How many times, cuántos tiempos, cuántas veces?
Como cinco, seis veces, five, six times. I can't remember, you know, how many times. But muchos.
Entonces, ¿es necesario dormir en la calle para usted o no?
¿Cómo? No le entiendo.
Usted no tiene una casa, you haven't got a house.
No.
Entonces, ¿es necesario dormir en la noche?
Sí.
Outside.
Exactamente. Sí. Viví en Pasatiempo muy bien, me sacaron de allá, viví en un lado, me sacaron, hoy estoy en otro lado. Pues de todos lados no tengo dónde ir, no sé dónde ir.
Entonces, es una cosa que es importante a las ellos que vienen a mi organización, se llama HAF, Ellos Sin Casas para Libertad y Friendship, no sé qué cosa en español qué cosa es, pero mi organización a 10:30 cada miércoles a esta misión se llama Abbey Coffee House, where we meet every Wednesday, but the issue of tickets for camping, which is a bunch of crap, es ridiculoso, porque no hay dónde se puede dormir. Where are you going to be able to sleep? Es un problema para muchas personas. Quieres que hable español, quieres que hable inglés, para los pobres generalmente, ¿verdad?
Pero it's only that one is only not my problem, you know. Mm-hmm. I tend to some discrimination because when they catch me camping five people, they go question for the white people what I doing, you know, and try to investigate me because I am Spanish. In all, not only that, when I go to the court, they give me 2 year probation, no bring weapons, no camping over there behind the cemetery. 2 years, and I never got problem before about nothing, no alcohol, drugs. Nothing. Now I got some.
¿Y su nombre completa es?
Miguel Portillo. Miguel Portillo. Portillo is my last name. My first name is Miguel.
Sí. Gracias, Miguel. Y se puede, como se dice, este programa, posiblemente a las jueves, 6 a las 8, o posiblemente domingo en la mañana. Se puede leer esta cosa ya. I'm telling you, the program's going to be aired 6 to 8 on Thursdays or 9:30. To one on Sundays, and it's it should be written down there if you can find it.
¿Cómo puedo comunicarme con Human Rights? Derechos humanos. ¿Cómo? I need communication con Human Rights, derechos humanos.
Right. En Santa Cruz no hay derechos humanos. Para los pobres, no hay derechos humanos. Para los ricos, todo el tiempo. Tú sabes. For rich people, there are human rights all the time. But nosotros podemos hablar de esta cosa. No es un es mucha ayuda, no se puede ayudar con esta cosa mucho, pero se puede educate, inform, tell, decir otras qué pasa con usted. Y sé, es una pequeña cosa para todos, pero es una cosa importante porque it's a small thing, but it's important for you because it's important for all of us because it happened to you, and it is happening to you. But that doesn't help you. That doesn't change it for you. No es cambiar, no se puede cambiar esta cosa. Pero si tú quieres, venga a esta meeting on Wednesday.
Okay. And se puede café
se llama the Abbey Cafe. A B B E Y, and that is. Mission at 10:30. Abbey, A B B E Y, Abbey. 10:30 p.m. a.m. in the morning, at on Wednesdays. It's at Mission, Highland, and High Streets, where the three of them intersect.
Okay.
And it's interesting. Miguel Portillo. And I apologize for my bad Spanish and for not translating at all and for not even understanding what was going on entirely. But it sounds like he was charged with something other than the city's infraction code for camping, or perhaps he was given the new treatment under the especially vicious law by City Attorney John Barisone and the Rotkin-Coonerty City Council, which says if you get three camping tickets and you haven't dealt with them, that's a misdemeanor. And that means that that's the only basis which they can really give you this kind of probation treatment and stay-away orders and things of that sort. So I'm going to try to check it out next time I get to court, Miguel Portillo, and see if they are perhaps charging him with lodging, which is the law that is being used aplenty against the Peace Camp 2010 activists. We've got about 12 minutes left in the show. I'm going to play another interview with a guy I ran into last night who had a problem with Woodstock pizza, and we'll hear that now.
Out on the mall, it's that Ricardo man.
Actually, that'll be coming up shortly.
Hey, hello. I'm really glad to see you. How come the police selectively give people tickets around here?
I don't like your beret, for one thing, and your attitude, I might add, Ricardo.
Although, they gave us tickets, then the rookie cop comes out, gives people tickets, then realizes nobody's giving anybody tickets for being out there because, well, it costs money. And, yeah, because nobody shows up for court. These are infractions, you know.
Three infractions makes a misdemeanor.
Is that true?
Well, only if they choose to so charge it. There's a new law, or an old law. If you got three infractions and they go to failure to pay, then they can charge you with a crime, the misdemeanor crime. And they can also charge you on the fourth infraction of any kind, make that a misdemeanor. That's their bullshit.
Well, you know what? I hate to say this, but the fact of the matter is, in Berkeley, when they release you from jail, they take you clear out to Dublin Pleasanton, drop you off at 3 in the morning, and then you can't catch BART till 4. You don't get home till, like, 7, maybe 8.
Well, if you're homeless, that doesn't matter because you have no home.
Right. But here, just walking across the bridge kind of takes the sting out of it.
Takes the sting out of it. It is actually October 6th, and we are down here about 8:15, and we're talking with
Ricardo Lopez.
You're strumming it up. Looks like a small take this evening. How are the customers treating you?
Actually, quite good tonight. Santa Cruz loves music. They love their street. Oh, here's another thing. Now we have one yellow shirt and one cop. See, it's always one new cop who's breaking the truces and the little rules that are all everywhere. And they're telling us we can't play right there.
You're pointing closer to the change-making machine.
The law says you can't play music within 10 feet of a machine, but they say, well, you've got your case open. Now, I ask you, where ever, they say, and that's just fair changing, but whenever have you ever seen anyone play music anywhere on Pacific Avenue that people haven't given them money?
Mm-hmm.
And of course they're going to give them money. What makes them think they're going to play music and people aren't going to give them? So they're trying to interpret the law. Of course, police shouldn't interpret the law. That's left to the courts. That's left to the courts and the law.
On behalf of the officers, let me say this. There is a bad law passed in 1994 and made worse in 2002, which states that a display device cannot be placed within 10 feet of a building, 10 feet of a crosswalk, 10 feet of a kiosk, 10 feet of a bench, 10, blah, 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 blah.
10 feet from that.
Now, it may well be a change.
For musicians, it's 10 feet. For spare changers, it's 50 feet. And they're saying,
yeah.
For musicians, it's 10 feet. For spare changers, it's 50 feet. And, yes, I think that it's time to litigate. My family are all, I'm the black sheep of a professional family, and they're all lawyers, and they always say, when in doubt, litigate. And so I've written away. I want to talk to our lawyer and see. We have to protect ourselves. We have to lean back. In Berkeley, you've got Ocean Newman and his fine thing, and we need to start that.
Answer my phone calls, I might add.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's too bad, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have to
hold out your family attorneys and get them down here fast, Ricardo.
Yeah. You know, I think I need to walk on into his office, OSHA's office.
There for an hour a day, I believe, over on, Wolsey Street?
On Wolsey, but it's actually on Shattuck, but it's right at the Berkeley-Oakland line. Yeah,
Wolsey and Shattuck.
Yeah. And but it's open for a few hours every day, but I get along with them pretty well. But something has to be done. Why would they make a law that says 10 feet away from the musicians have to play 10 feet away, and they say, oh, but you've got your case out. Duh. all musicians get tipped out here. The acapella band sets up, they get tipped. Everybody puts a case out. Why make a law about musicians?
So they can move you along, mister.
Yeah, but within 10 feet, that musicians play within 10 feet. But they say you've got your case open.
I remember. The situation is this.
Has anyone ever played out here without their case open?
You can actually play anywhere on the mall. You can actually lean against the change machine and play, provided you don't have a case open. So in other words, you can actually play.
Then why do they have the law about 10 feet?
Display devices. They want to stop you.
Are they telling me I have to be 50 feet away instead of 10 feet
because
away?
They want to make sure that you
you might
sleepwalk over there. Oh, the law. The police know better than the law.
Look,
they're
making shit up as usual.
No,
they make it up as they go along. You know what they told this guy? They gave him a ticket for being out there on the river. And this dumb pig who just started up there, who's been giving tickets, and the real ones had to tell her, no, don't give any tickets. She says, you can't be down here because of habitat restoration. And they just drove the bulldozers through there and knocked all of the habitat down.
Now that is habitat restoration Santa Cruz style.
He just laughed at her and she got upset. But she told him, habitat restoration. He just laughed.
No,
he had to turn
like
his head away.
Ticket rather than habitat. We've been talking with
Ricardo Lopez.
I'm going to roll on you.
Bye.
Thank you. And keep the playing, will you?
Love you.
All right, then. All right, well, here we are in front of Woodstock at about 9 o'clock, and there's a certain discontent with some of the management we're talking with.
Yeah, this is John Monahan. I used to be a regular customer at Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had my artwork hanging on their walls for about a year.
Really?
And didn't sell much because of the crowd. And it was a bad position. They didn't look up as they went to the bathroom. See that the little sidewall down there? They just walked
right there. There's some pictures on the wall now.
But anyway, things were going nicely, and I was getting along well with the manager, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a few soft drinks without paying for them because I gave him a Woodstock poster. For the
value of the drinks,
or more than the value of any of the drink. Nobody had a Woodstock poster from '69.
Huh.
It's a good copy of it. But I've been a customer here for like two or three ever since they opened. And recently, though, when my friend Scott, the general manager, is not around, these fascist little managers are like got me in kind of a kangaroo court.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I was here, I was watching the Notre Dame game against Michigan, I bought a soft drink, right? And I was there about 10 minutes, and somebody came up to me and told me I didn't pay for my soft drink.
Huh.
And
corrected them.
I said no. I definitely did pay for this soft drink, and it was $1.97. And you're mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Oh no, we're not. Somebody saw you take a glass and not pay for it," which is absolutely not a mistake, but a lie. Because
uh-huh.
if they were looking, they'd see that I was standing there paying for it.
Uh-huh.
And so it got to be a really nasty scene, like, because being as insulted as I was, I didn't really feel I should leave for them, creating a phony
pretext to throw you out.
Transgression by me, because, I'd reformed, and I hadn't gotten a free drink in months.
Mm-hmm.
And so they called the cops on me when I said,
wow.
You're ridiculous. And
how soon did the cops come?
They never came. But there's a Heather that works here, blonde, who was just out. Is that her name? And then there's a guy named Dominic and another woman. This woman I don't know if she was assistant manager or not, but she acted like she was some kind of big shot.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one that called the cops. And she called the assistant manager and told them the lie that I didn't pay for my drink. And he said, well, if he leaves, he can come back, but if he doesn't leave, then 86 him. So about 2 minutes later, I left.
Uh-huh.
And so I went in there the other night, and this blonde chick runs up to me and says, the cops told you you're not allowed to come back in here. In other words, I said, well, you're misinformed as usual,
yeah.
But we'll see what happens when I talk to the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but
I haven't had a good opportunity to speak to him because he was here. There was some big stuff going on Sunday, so I didn't bother him. But anyway, I really feel kind of betrayed and flabbergasted that I've never been 86 from anywhere that I can remember.
Well, we're keeping our eye on guys. Like, first of all, you've got this peculiar-looking goatee and this weird hat.
That's right.
Plus, you have keychain.
Look at this
corduroy.
Hat. Look at this hat. It's made in China. They put the SF on backwards.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Look. For the radio listeners, the SF emblem is on the inside of the cap instead of the outside. And I arranged to have the backward SF on the front cap.
So you are, in fact, a backwards kind of guy. I think.
Yeah, well, I was born in San Francisco,
well,
and we like to be different.
Don't really want your kind around here. I think Woodstock also would prefer.
I would like to put in a thing for American industry, though. It says made in China.
There you go. All right. At least you're helping the Chinese government continue its evil reign.
No, I picked up in a thrift shop. I thought, this is for me. Just nobody has one of these, you know. This is one of a kind hat. But anyway, I'd like to ask people, well, this would be kind of cool. Are you still accusing John Monahan of things he didn't do when they come in to get a? By the way, you can't get a slice here except on rare occasions and Sunday evenings. But it's kind of hard to, if you're a big football fan, to please these people. And I don't have cable, so I got to go somewhere to see a good.
Pizza's pretty expensive, and not very much of it, as I've noticed. But
the mini pizza is smaller than two slices. That's about. And tell you the truth, I'm going to say it. I like Pizza My Heart better anyway. But they don't have five giant televisions in Pizza My Heart.
What about Joe's Pizza?
That's good too. It's better than here.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Of course. It's a very nice white crowd. And I'm looking over the crowd. I see zero people of color. Let's look over the story. I'm looking at the heated patio. Take a look inside here. Nice looking fireplace. Various.
Robert, I appreciate that.
Yeah, nobody here.
I was thinking I should go to Good Times or you know, the other.
Well, you probably should. We have very limited exposure here.
Yeah, but I don't know how much people. You're going to put it on the radio,
right?
Oh,
for sure. For sure.
Because every word, I give my word of honor to the world that I paid for that goddamn drink. And, you know.
Well, we want to hear about
one hates being accused of such a petty thing.
For sure, for sure. And I've heard
like if I hadn't
happen
bought
elsewhere
it, I would have paid for it rather than argue, you know.
So if you'd like, give us the further outcome of this.
Yeah, I will. I'll give you a running account in the next few days.
Or perhaps a walking or standing, account.
Yeah, I'll let you know what. Let me see his name here. I got his card. Scott Patterson. See what he says.
Will the manager rectify the evil?
Guy.
We'll find
good
out.
Just guy and can rectify.
We've been talking with
an obvious abuse. You've been talking with a very disappointed John Monahan.
Thank you,
because I'm not able to sit up close to the screen.
But you're watching through the window.
I'm watching through the window.
We'll make sure you don't. I'm calling the police. You're standing on private property.
Gave me a big smile that I was sitting outside. You know? Like she was proud of herself.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
And that happened, I think, actually two nights ago. You know, and you think, well, who's this guy? He didn't pay for his drink. He's complaining. Well, it can be very humiliating, and also it can feel very, very bad if you are treated like crap by a business which mistakenly accuses you of something which
you
didn't do. Dennis here, of course, is giving me trouble. He'll be taken care of later. And it happens particularly frequently to people who are poor and homeless, more so than people who are not. And Uncle Dennis here, of course, is, with his usual brand of dry, soppy humor, is making light of the situation. Well, we know what to do with him, don't we? Any case, that kind of...
What you do about me is put your tail between your legs.
Winds it up, as I was about to say, for Bathrobe Spears broadsides. Now we get to hear... You get to hear 3 hours of hokey music from ancient times, plus a few vanilla reports on Earth First about people who don't even live in Santa Cruz. Thank you, Uncle Dennis, for the local scene. Any case.
I had the forestry report.
Oh, the forestry report. What about the report of hardworking activists who are fighting to restore civil rights in Santa Cruz? Guess we don't get too much of that from you, do we, Uncle Dennis?
No, we get way too much of that from you.
I would suppose you would say that, wouldn't you, Mr. Earth First, People Last? Any case, I'll be back on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning, or possibly even before, and you can check me out tomorrow. I'll be wandering around in front of New Leaf trying to pass out flyers, polls, and other items of possible interest. So get back to me then or there, or give me a call on the Huff line at 423-HUFF, and we'll huff and puff together.
Yeah, a little bit of Beatles for you there on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 www.freakradio.org. Uncle Dennis here. After I've successfully evicted Robert from his illegal camping site here in the studio, see ya. He's probably due for a few misdemeanors. But anyway, that, of course, a little inside joke. Robert will be back Sunday morning, 9-ish. So, 9:30 is when he's supposed to start, but, you know, he's got nothing else to do on Sunday morning. He comes into the studio and coerces his friend Thomas into leaving early. I don't know. It's their thing to work out. But if you want more of Robert, that's when you can get it. And, of course, at the Huff website, whatever that is. Name of this show is From the Cream to the Dregs. And coming up this weekend is the 100th birthday of John Lennon. So we are going to... I think that's what it is. I'll have to look that up to make sure. Anyway, something about John Lennon's birthday. So we're just going to continue on here with the album Abbey Road and celebrate whatever birthday it is. I'll figure it out here. The Beatles.
Physical science in the home. Late nights all alone. you. Oh, oh, oh. Maxwell Edison, majoring in medicine, calls her on the phone. Can I take you out to the pictures, Joan? Stay with